we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
If you could, let's just bow our heads real quick. We're going to pray for Garland. We're going to pray for the Dallas area, Rowlett, Glen Heights. There's a whole strip of our Metroplex that has just been ransacked by tornadoes. From what I've heard, 11 people are dead. There's many thousands that are without electricity. There are many hundreds that have lost their homes or their homes have been very badly injured. Some of you in this very room know people that have been affected by this. We're going to take a moment right now and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we come to you right now and we ask, Lord, that you would be with all of this tragedy, all of this hurt, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, for all those that are without electricity. Lord, we pray all for all those that do not have a home right now. In Jesus' name, meet their need. Show up for them, God. Lord, we know, Lord, that it is you that meets the need, God. Lord, we want you to move on people's hearts. Lord, we want them to show up to help them, and we want them to bring a testimony of God's love for them with them, God. Lord, let this show them, God, that their hope was never in a home, that their hope was never in any of those things, but their hope is in you, God. Lord, we pray for it right now. Lord, help your church, not just this church, but churches all over this Metroplex, to be your hands and feet, to be active, to be ministering, to be out there picking up debris, to be out there ministering, God, feeding people, helping people, letting them know the good news, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray all of that. And we add this, God, thank you for protecting us. And thank you for being with us, Jesus. Lord, we know, Lord, that it could have been us. Lord, thank you for that. And all the other things that could happen to us, Lord, we give you all the praise and glory. You protect us every hour. And the church said, in Jesus' name, amen. I hope everyone had a great Christmas, a good season here. Did you have a good time these last few days? Hopefully you got to spend some time with family. Hope that's much needed time, right? Some time with family, some time where you're not out hustling, bustling at work, but you're actually with family. I rejoice that everywhere we went, if we're at stores like shopping malls or even grocery markets, we heard music that was celebrating the birth of our Savior. I rejoice for that. Don't you love that? Don't you love that? Ho hum. Do you love that the world for one moment is focused on the nativity and the birth of Jesus? I love it. I hope you're excited about it. And that is our Savior. That is our Christ they're singing about. That's our Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, and I'm excited about it. I believe that gets a hold of people's hearts, even if they don't know it's getting a hold of their heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I enjoyed taking some time to preach our last sermon series about the incarnation. If you missed any part of that series, you need to go to redemption-church.com and look for the BC, Before Christ series. We covered a lot of amazing stuff in that series. It meant a lot to me. I think it will mean a lot to you also. Next Sunday, we will be in the year 2016. How about that? That's crazy, right? 2016. It's hard to believe. We'll be starting a new series. You just saw the bumper for that. It's called Lego Church. All right? We want you to be here. It's going to focus on how God wants to build our life. He wants to build your life. And he wants to build his church. All right? It's going to be a fun series. You need to bring your friends to it. Tell someone about Lego Church. Bring them next week. So Lego Church is next week. In the last 3 weeks, that was BC, before Christ. Does anybody remember the sermon I preached 4 weeks ago? It was Thanksgiving weekend. Anybody remember? You don't be bashful. You can go ahead and raise your hand if you remember. It's kind of important that you remember. If you don't remember, I guess I'll just need to re-preach that sermon entitled, Don't Forget to Remember. All right? Y'all with me? I promise I'm not going to get on to you. I'm just going to remind you about this sermon. We're going to do some really special things with me. So tune in with me, all right? Help me help you remember. We have days of remembrance. Days that are set aside. They are marked for this special occasion. They are sometimes national holidays. designed to celebrate, designed to bring us back to a remembrance, maybe of people that lost their life or a big happening, sometimes a great victory, sometimes a great tragedy. But nonetheless, we know that it's important that we remember these things. We have reminders in our calendars. If you don't have a reminder on your phone about somebody's special's birthday or your anniversary, I suggest you do that. If you don't know how to do that, you just ask Dwight. He knows how to do, or Rob over here, they know how to do every, or any 12-year-old, and they know how to do all that tech stuff, all right? That's some valuable stuff. There are things you don't want to forget. Am I right, wife? Yes, the anniversary is important, Lord. Never let me forget, in Jesus' name. All right, we have these days of remembrance, and we have these tech reminders to help us remember, but humans are forgetful. Absolutely. Things that we think we will never forget, they just slowly go away, and then you're like, oh yeah, I kind of remember that. Can you remind me how that went again, right? That's how it is. You may have forgotten that sermon I preached recently, as recently as 4 weeks ago. In fact, I would ask you one quick moment to take inventory of all the amounts of sermons you actually remember. Just take one moment. Real quick, do you have any that come to mind? And are you having trouble getting past like 3 or 4, right? All the sermons, because this is, I'm looking at a lot of people here. This is not your first time at church. It's not your first time at Redemption Church. You were raised in church. You've been to a church service or two. You've been to a Bible study or two. But how many of them do you remember? Okay, quick show of hands. Are you like struggling to get past 5? Anyone? Anyone struggling to get past 5? Preachers everywhere are crying. They're like, ah, oh, right. All right. We often remember, we often don't remember what was taught, but I guarantee you this, do you remember what you felt? Anybody? You remember what you felt? The night I was filled with God's glorious Holy Spirit, I have no clue what was preached, but actually I know what I felt. I know I felt something transformative. Now let's raise hands over here. You ever have an experience like that where you don't remember the sermon? You don't remember what was sung, who sung, what you were wearing, none of that stuff. But there was a moment where the God of all eternity impacted you. Woo, I feel God just telling you. And it impacted you. You can go back to that place. You can recall that moment anytime. Praise God. I've got moments like that. Thank you, Lord. I want a moment like that. Why don't you just ask God real quick? God, give us a moment like that right now in Jesus' name. The Bible warns you about forgetting the Word of God. It's really important that you're learning, that you're growing. You might not have to, the victory is not in, well, I remember the title of a sermon and where he took his text. That's not where the victory is. The victory is in holding on to the Word of God, hiding the Word of God in your heart, growing in God, letting His wisdom come to you. The Bible warns us if we aren't doing that. If you come to church time after time and you're just forgetting the Word of God, it's like in one ear, out the other. James chapter 1 hits this very sternly. Verse 22 through 25, chapter 1 of James, let's look at that. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. All right, this is already tough, right? If you're just listening to the Word, you're lying to yourself. Do what it says. Verse 23. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. Verse 24. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So here's a real visual right here. Can you imagine if you didn't remember what your face looked like? Like, I've got a little 6-month at home. I will walk by a mirror and he'll be like, he has no idea. He's like, I recognize you, Daddy, the person holding me, but who's this? He doesn't recognize himself. If we don't remember the Word of God, the visual here, the symbol, the example is, the metaphor, that we look ourselves in the Word of God. We see ourselves, but then we turn away, and then we have no clue what we look at, what we look like. Verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, didn't just do it once, but continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. All right, so those are stern words. But right there at the end, we also have a very great promise. Would you agree? There's a great promise right there. If we hear the word and don't allow it to take root, we are deceived. We're like people that look in the mirror, forget who we are. Let's explain that. Your true identity is revealed in the Word of God. You want to know who you are? Ask the Creator. Look to the Creator's words. He says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says that you are the apple of his eye. He says that you are more than an overcomer through him who loves you. These are just some of the things. It says that you can do all things through Christ. A lot of our negativity, a lot of our low understanding of ourselves, all of that could be fixed if we look in the Word of God, believe what it says about us. It's right there in the Word. Your true identity is revealed in the Word of God. And if you forget the Word of God, you're actually forgetting your purpose. You're actually forgetting who God created you to be. Y'all get that? And then the blessing, the promise of remembering the Word is huge. It says you will be blessed in what you do. Quick show of hands. Anybody want to be blessed in what you do? Yeah, the Word of God. I'm giving you an opportunity to be blessed in what you do today as we're studying the Word of God together. God commands us to remember. We need to remember, but humans are forgetful. 4 weeks ago, we told the story of the landmark that God told Joshua and Israel to build as they crossed over the river Jordan. Good job, somebody remembered. They were to stop everything. In fact, they were in the middle of the river, yet riverbed still. The water was parted right there at the Jordan River. And God said, stop right here. Get 12 men. Build a landmark. Too often we hurry on to the very next thing. God had them stop everything to build something that would last, not just in the moment, but for ages to come. And we also told the story of David having faith to stand before a giant named Goliath. And he testified what God had done in his past. Remember, he comes up in front of the king of Israel. His name was Saul. His name was Saul. And Saul says, everyone says, you can't do this. Why? Well, you're just a boy. You're just a young, you're knee-high to a grasshopper. And you can't do this. And here's what he says. Harkens back to the promises of God, to the miracles that God had done in his life. And he cites two miracles. What were they? He killed a bear and he killed a lion while he was shepherding his sheep. And the God that put the bear in my hands and allowed me to kill it, the God that delivered the lion in my hands is going to deliver that uncircumcised Philistine into my hands also. And God did. God did. If he had not remembered, he would have been like everyone else at the battlefield and refused to go onto that battlefield. But when he knew and remembered all that God had done for them, he stepped out there on that battlefield with some serious guts, and he won such a huge victory. We need to remember. But here's the problem. We remember the wrong things. Now, I want you to practice your amen in, okay? If what I say is true right here, okay? Practice your amen. All right, here we go. Say amen if what I'm saying is true. We remember our fears. Right? Unrelated things can go on and suddenly, boom. Oh, my goodness. I'm afraid of that. There's a Fluid tradition that the Fluid men will get, like, freaked out over stuff that they can't do anything about, like my grandfather and sometimes my dad. They would shoot up in bed like, oh my goodness, I'm worried about something. And like all this fear, right? Remembers fear, remembers something in the past, remembers something that you can't affect. Oh my goodness, did I turn off the coffee pot? And okay, you could be worried about that, but don't be afraid over that. How about this one? Amen, if you agree with this. We remember our failure. Amen, right? We remember our failure. In fact, there's certain things we'll never try that again because we failed at doing it back in kindergarten. There's some people that they actually had a talent to sing or talent to do something, but they got in front of people and somebody snickered and somebody laughed and they said, well, that's it, I'm a failure. And so they actually let go of their ability because of their failure. And they remember that. In fact, they will remember the one snicker and forget the entire room of applause. It's true. Yeah, it is. How about this one? Say amen if it's true. We remember our hurts and our insecurities. Amen. My goodness, you remember what someone said about you 20 years ago. There could be someone insignificant. Sometimes it could be someone just past. You remember the guy that you drove past and that he gave you an offensive little display, right? And said you were dumb, and you remember that. I can recall that. I'm like, that loser, I'm mad at him. All right? Even all these years later, right? We remember hurts. We remember insecurities. It's like they play on a loop in our brain. You know what a Vine video is? It's a short video that loops. And then sometimes they'll put GIFs on there. If it's funny to watch the person fall once, put it on a Vine, and then after the 30th time, people will be melted on the floor because they've laughed at that video too much. It's like on a loop. Well, our failures, our hurts, our fears, it's like they play on a loop, on a Vine in our head, never to be forgotten. And it just gets worse over time. There is a spiritual enemy that makes sure these things don't get forgotten. You might know about this spiritual enemy. Check out how your enemy, Satan, is described in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. Check this verse out, this word right here. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. This is Satan right here. He is the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses who? He accuses you. He accuses the brothers. He accuses you. How often does he do it? Just every once in a while. No, he does it day and night. The dude doesn't need to sleep. He's a spiritual entity. He doesn't need to go take a coffee break. He doesn't need to go grab lunch. He doesn't need to go run errands. Satan is doing one thing right now. He's accusing you. He's accusing you before God. And he will accuse your heart. One day we will stand before God and that accuser of the brethren will be right there. But let me tell you, he's going to be hurled down. We need to remember the word of God. We need to stop remembering the words of the enemy. Some of us, we can't quote our memory verse, but we can quote what Satan's been whispering in our ear. Oh, preacher, that's some good preaching. Yeah, I know it's good preaching. Amen. We need to remember that the word of God is true and that when it's in our heart, it can change everything. We need to remember every victory that God has brought us, and he's brought us plenty of those victories. Satan may know your past, but how many know? You know his future. His future, man, he really ought to be thinking a little bit about that. Remembering doesn't just happen. That's why people forget. We have to make a conscious choice. We have to build those landmarks we talked about. We have to make a deep life decision. And a decision that to change our focus. A decision to start celebrating the words of God. The words of a God who loves us. We have to make that choice. That doesn't just happen. That has to be something that clicks in you, that you make different in your life. It could be just as simple as when those fears come on you, you get out the Word of God. You open anywhere in the Word of God. You just start reading. You start remembering the words of God. Maybe when these feelings of anxiety come on you, why don't you just get yourself a little worship song coming out of your heart? We shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the Word. You just start building these things up. It doesn't just happen. It's a conscious choice. It is holding on to what is true and letting go of what is not. All right? It doesn't just happen. That's something you need to do because there is an enemy and the enemy steals. 4 weeks ago, I stood in this very spot and I warned you that the enemy steals. I told you about the parable of the seed, and I told you about the birds that would come and they would snatch up the seed, and the seed represents the It represents the Word of God. And once that Word of God landed on anywhere on that soil, those birds would come in and try to take it before it could take root, before it could really land in that soil and germinate and bring forth life-giving victory. We talked about that 4 weeks ago. There is an enemy that wants to steal the Word of God out of you. I just asked you, how many sermons can you remember? How many words of God can you remember? Well, we couldn't remember that many, but I'm going to tell you, there's some people that they have totally forgotten important things like Jesus is Lord. They have totally forgotten that God is a healing God. They have totally forgotten that He's coming back one day. They might have been raised in church. They heard that sermon. They heard the Word. They might have said amen, but somewhere along the way, an enemy came and he stole it from them. I told you the enemy comes to kill. He comes to steal and he comes to destroy. I told you that the enemy can't stop God from doing miracles in your life. Oh man, that's some good news right there. He can't stop God from doing miracles in your life. But he can try to get you to forget the miracles God has done in your life. As soon as God speaks to you, He speaks that word, that supernatural word, that seed, that thing in you. He tries to come. He tries to henpeck it. He tries to take it out of there. As soon as you receive the Word of God, as soon as that miracle happened in your life, He tries to come along. He tries to take it. That's what He does. The enemy seeks to steal it from you. He seeks to make you doubt it. A Christian that is not living out the Word of God they are receiving, could it be that an enemy has been stealing from them? A church that is not fulfilling the Great Commission. God has given us this Great Commission. Before He ascends into heaven, He looks at His followers and He says, go into all the world and make disciples. He did not stutter. He did not. He said it very clearly. If there is a church redemption, hello, that is not fulfilling the Great Commission, could it be that someone has come and stolen that out of us and maybe put in there some other things? No, believe these things and said, no, it's important to be religious. It's important to go to church. Jesus never told you to go to church as much as He told you to go fulfill the Great Commission. You are the church. Go, church. Don't go to church. Go, church, is how He says it. Amen. Could it be that there's been an enemy henpecking at you? I stood here and told you about two things that overcome the enemy. Do you remember them? What are the two things? I really helped you out today. Come on. What are the two things that overcome the enemy? Tell us. Oh, look at that. We even sang about it. The blood of the Lamb overcomes the enemy, and the word of our testimony. I'm not making this up. This is Revelation 12 and 11. We just read Revelations 12 and 10. Here's the very next verse. He just said He was hurled down. Now it says why He was hurled down. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Number one, the blood of the Lamb. Anybody have the blood of the Lamb applied to their life, applied to their heart? That is no small thing. Come on, hands up. Not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You look at a blood-bought individual. Jesus Christ has saved me by the blood shed at Calvary. But number two, they overcame him not just by the blood of the Lamb, but by the word of their testimony. This is some heavy stuff right here. Because the blood of Jesus defeats the enemy, but you need to combine it with one other thing in your life to defeat the enemy in your life. To hurl him down once and for all from your life, Dwight. And it is to have the blood of Jesus and to have the word of testimony of Jesus. And to have that testimony that he did these things for me. And have that truth in you that he will do these things for you. And to have that overflowing in your life that you're fulfilling the Great Commission without even going out to be like a missionary. It's just constantly coming out from you. No one has to send you to a far off land. When you go to Starbucks, it just starts coming out of you. You got the blood of the Lamb and you got the word of a truthful testimony. What does it mean to testify? What is a testimony? Testify to serve evidence and proof as a witness. Do I have any witnesses in here? I remember a few years ago, there was one of my least favorite basketball players. Sorry, LeBron. But he had this LeBron James commercial series. He's like, we're all witnesses. We've all seen the greatest basketball player of all time. We're all witnesses. No, we're all witnesses. That was the idea of it. Do I have any witnesses in here that Jesus is exactly who he said he was? Do we have any witnesses in here that God loves them? Do we have any witnesses in here that God can take the lowest of the low? He can save them. He can redeem them. He can turn their life around. Can anybody serve evidence and proof of that? And let me tell you, where you point with this witness and this testimony is at yourself. You say, God did that in me. I'm a witness. I saw it with my own eyes. I felt it. I heard him. I was at that altar when it happened. Is there any testifiers in this house today? Today we're going to be doing something very different. Today we're going to be doing something very risky. In fact, church growth seminars will tell you there's several things you need to get rid of in your church services. You need to get rid of moments where you make visitors feel awkward. And here's how they'll point out these two things. Make the visitors talk. Like, stand up and everybody greet them. That makes them nervous. And so don't do that. And also, don't ever do anything that would have people in the congregation speak, because that makes people nervous. That's what church growth seminars tell you. We're going to break all of those rules today, because I'm going to hear from you today. I'm done preaching. I want you, Redemption Church, I'm talking to you. I want you to spend some time remembering. I want you to spend some time thanking God. I want you to spend some time testifying, serving evidence and proof as a witness, to testify of what God has done for you and what you believe he will do for you. This will be completely different for some of you. Maybe you've never been in what's called a testimony service. For some of you, it's going to be a throwback to an older church experience. But I want to tell you, what we're doing right now is very biblical. You should testify. Do we have anybody that wants to stand up right now, come right up here to the front, and give us some evidence, to give us some proof as a witness?
He didn't really play the piano much. He just kind of knew that song, you know. But he told me about how he kind of wound up in a dark place where he kind of lost everything that he had, and that he wound up at an altar of a church and was crying and shaking and wound up receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and was speaking in tongues and all this stuff that in the Methodist church you just don't hear much about, other than it's the kind of stuff that used to happen. And so I kind of set out on a mission. I was like, hey, if this guy can experience that, then surely, you know, if God is still operating that way in some people's lives, surely he'll operate in that way in my life too. So I went to the youth pastor's wife at the Methodist church that I was at, And she told me that for her, it would be an issue of faith, that for somebody, they might have that kind of faith, but that she didn't think she would ever have the faith to experience God in that way. And I thought, well, that's not good enough for me, you know. I want that kind of faith. And so I wound up meeting someone, a friend, and she told me that she went to a United Pentecostal church, and I had heard stories about Pentecostals and thought, this is a good place to go. And I went and enjoyed the youth service on Wednesday night, and then went to the church service the following Sunday, and wound up, you know, worshiping in a way that I'd never worshiped before in my life. I had been to some, you know, more contemporary worship type of things, but I mean, this was different. This is, everybody was actually enjoying themselves, and it was vibrant and full of life. And the associate pastor and youth pastor approached me and asked if they could pray with me. And I wound up receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and was speaking in tongues and shaking. And I mean, it was totally different. I mean, I experienced God in a way that I'd never experienced God before in my life. Not that I didn't know God. I just didn't know him that way. And it was just a brand new kind of thing. So I've kind of just been, you know, feeling ever since then. But the most important thing about it, that is that now God is with me. It's not just something that happened in the past. This is now. This is me experiencing God now, and every day I get to experience God. So, and I'm going to give two more little things that are kind of not completely related to that, but are in a way. I smoked for 7 years, smoked cigarettes for 7 years, and I often tell people I smoked for 7 years and tried to quit for six, and because it was one of the things that was very difficult for me. I mean, once I got hooked, that was it. It was, I couldn't walk away from it for more than a few hours. And I had a lot of people praying for me. And I actually had quit a couple of times for several days and always went back to it. And then one day I ran out of tobacco and didn't have enough money to go buy more. And I was thinking, okay, sure, this is a good time to quit. And wound up going 3 days without smoking. And on the third day, I had like this urge to go hang out with my friends that smoked. Normally, this urge would be, I want to go hang out with my friends that smoke so that I can ask them for a cigarette. But this wasn't the same thing, and I went, and they were smoking cigarettes, and I smelled it, and it smelled good to me, but it didn't smell like something I desired. It was like complete freedom, and I've experienced complete freedom from that ever since, and I know that there's other things like that. And then another one more thing, just reaching back to my days at the Methodist church. This was my first lesson in the sowing and reaping field. I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't know anything about tithing or anything like that. But I had pledged to give money to my youth group when I was there, and wound up completely blowing it, not ever bringing the money I was supposed to bring with me or anything, and just kind of, you know, every time I was there, I was like, ah, I forgot my money, and just kind of felt guilty about it, but, you know, that was whatever. And then one day, I had a little money, and had a student checking account, and had a little money in my account, and so I just wrote a check for $100 to the church, and took it to the youth pastor, and I said, you know, I pledged this money. I never brought anything, but I have money now, and I want to give this. And I felt good about it, you know? Yeah, you know? So I left church that afternoon and went to go see my great aunt, who has now passed away, but I was very close to her. And that very afternoon, my aunt, not knowing that I had done that, wrote me a check for $1,000. So when I get up here, sometimes I do the greeting and I tell people, hey, you know, give, because it makes a difference. It really does. I mean, you'll never miss it because God is, anytime you give something to God, you are never going to miss it because he is always going to give it back way more than you gave to him. So
amen.
That's what I have.
Clap your hands for that in this house. That's awesome. Anyone else want to come up here? Share your testimony. Come on. Don't be shy. Sarah, come on. My wife, Sarah. Come on, testify.
Well, y'all all heard, I know, a lot of my testimonies, so I could get up here and tell a million things. Like, I had epilepsy that the doctor said would never go away, and Jesus healed me. I was never supposed to be able to have children, and you've heard two of them in this sermon, out of three. We were walking through Six Flags. If you've never been, it's a big place. And I lost this earring, this diamond earring, the year Chris bought it for me, the first Christmas we were together. And I didn't know how many hours it had been. I just knew that I had it when I walked in, and it was gone. And Chris goes, I know where it is, and took me to a bench. And it was, we had been there hours before. It was sitting under a bench. God told him where it was. We were walking through Target, and my hip was hurting all of a sudden. And I was like, I can't really walk very well. And Chris just goes, well, let's pray for it. And we didn't even stop walking. He just put his hand on my hip and said, God, heal her hip. You don't want her to hurt. And it stopped hurting. And so my testimony isn't like each individual thing. It's the fact that now he's done these things for me. And I try to keep those in mind. Like, I don't want to be, every time God does something for me, go, oh my gosh, I'm so shocked God did that for me. No, I need to expect him to do it and ask him to do it before I, you know, hurt for 2 weeks, or, you know, just give in to a doctor's diagnosis that you're never going to be better, or give in to the fact that I've always been emotional or always been this. I don't have to do that. I can just say, God, you know, help me, and expect that he will. So that's mine.
Stay right here.
Okay.
My wife, Sarah, she had epilepsy, like severe epilepsy, grandma's seizures, couldn't drive, was not going to be able to ever have children. The doctor said she could never go full term with these seizures, and they're happening every day. Didn't matter what medicine she took. And I'm going to make this part short. God just completely healed her of her epilepsy. We no longer have to take medicine. We are healed in the name of Jesus. We have three beautiful sons. We haven't had an epileptic seizure since that moment he healed her in 2007. Some of her family still can't understand how that is. It's the Lord Jesus. But here's what I want to say. That testimony did more than just change our family. It did more than just allow us to have children. Now, whenever we run into someone that has epilepsy.
A lot. That happens a lot.
It happens a lot. Every time we run into someone that has epilepsy, one of us is going to tell them about the healing power of Jesus. I was with some people that were atheists. And we're just, you know, we're good friends with them. We're just talking to them. We never pressure them, and we're trying, you know, we respect them. We want to love them into truth and not hit them with the Bible or anything. But they opened up and they said, our friend, his girlfriend has epilepsy. And so as soon as he said that, I was like, well, I have to tell them. I'm going to tell them about this. So I opened my mouth to tell them. Before I can, Sarah opened her mouth and says, I've got a story to tell you. And so that's wonderful. Everywhere we go, we have that testimony. Testimony should change your life. Testimony should change your life. That you walk into situations and you say, oh, you have this struggle? You have this problem? Oh, I've seen that before. Let me tell you about a God who can overcome that struggle. Hey, buddy. Do you have a testimony? Do you have something good to say about the Lord Jesus?
Yeah.
Tell us. Tell all of them something good about God.
They take care of us.
Yeah. Does God take care of us?
Yes.
Cool. You want to tell them about heaven?
Heaven is where we die, but if we lie, we do not go to heaven.
Okay.
We go to heaven when we do not lie, and God takes care of us. He created the heavens and the earth. He made us.
Amen. Redemption Amen. Church, y'all believe that? Amen. Good job, Will. That guy's never been scared a day in his life. I love it. Anyone else who wants to share a testimony? I'll share one. It was about a year ago, a little bit over a year ago. We had wonderful little friendly letters from the IRS. Amen. Love our brothers and sisters there, the IRS. We had these letters come that said, hey, you paid your 941 taxes for Redemption Church, but y'all paid the wrong amount. And so they hit us with a bunch of, you know, fees and a bunch of other stuff. And suddenly, you know, this was over several years, even before, like, I became pastor. And so we're suddenly sitting in front of us several thousand dollars worth of IRS payments that need to be paid. And the word levy is used in their language and all kinds of scary stuff like that. And I was like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Before this happened, we had met as this church staff and we said, guys, God wants us to do more than survive. This was last year, about this time. God wants us to do more than survive. He wants us to come to a place where we aren't living offering to offering, that we go to a brand new place where we can give more freely to other ministries than we ever had, that we can grow and build for the future. And as soon as we say that, this falls on my desk. And it's like, well, maybe you missed God. Flew it. Maybe that's not true. You know, the enemy comes. He says, nope, you're a liar. You're a loser. It's all going to fail. But there was something else that came in the mail. There was something that came in the mail. Several checks came in the mail, all from one person. And the amount that came in, exactly, like to the penny, basically, paid off all of those IRS payments. And we walked into the new year with that vision still standing. And I knew right there, God did that. This wasn't coming. Who knew this was coming? Didn't know the IRS thing was coming. I certainly didn't know this thing was coming. But God met all of our needs. And now we're standing in a better financial place than we ever have as a church. And all glory to God. God wants to do that for you in your personal finances. He wants to do that in your life. When you have that awful news come, you just get ready because God's still God after the letter arrives. Come on, somebody. That's some good preaching right there. God is still God after the letter arrives. After the doctor's diagnosis, is he still God? Yes, absolutely. After the car breaks down in the rain, let me tell you, he is still God. Scott, you got something to share with us? It's our youth pastor, Scott Fain, everybody. Come on, bear witness. Show forth the praise of him.
Hello. When I was a kid, I was supposed to be born with no facial features, arms or legs. Supposed to be a skin potato that they poked a hole in that would breathe for approximately 3 days and then die. My parents were recommended, 16 out of 17 doctors recommended to abort me. And the one that didn't was a Christian, and neither of my parents believed and weren't spirit-filled believers, or even believers, period. And so, but they found a doctor that would give them a shot. And so they gave birth to me, and obviously I was fine. I got a terrible disease in the NICU. Of the five babies that received it in the NICU, I was one of two that did not die. And so there were a lot of things conspiring against me at the beginning. And since then, it's been somewhat bumpy road. Some people would describe my situation as courageous. That always makes me laugh. But the Lord continues to bless me in spite of myself. And so I'm thankful, and I testify that when we're not good, He still is.
Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Amen. Oh, man. Come on, anyone else? Anyone else have a testimony along the lines of, I would not be here if it had not been for the Lord on my side? Come on, somebody. We want to rejoice with you. We want to celebrate with you. Amen. Come on, brother. Come on, share that good news, Dwight.
I'm Dwight. I've shared bits of my testimony. I grew up in a good Christian home. Gave my life to the Lord at a very young age. And growing up, I mean, I was trying to live a good Christian life. But when I was 21, I openly and boldly rebelled against God and against my upbringing. And I was plunged into all the darkness and horror that comes with the type of rebellion that I was into. But after 6 years, God had enough of my rebellion, and He pulled me out. And at that time, I didn't know that things were going to get a lot worse for me. But God did let me know early on that He was going to be victorious and that He was going to win. And about 12 to 14 years later, God finally, after being dragged through a lot of really deep spiritual warfare, I was finally freed from all that rebellion. So my testimony is for people that have rebelled against God and think that what they've done and the situation they've got themselves into is beyond fixing, that no matter what, God can get them out and God will pull them through. Even if things get a lot worse, but God will be victorious, and He will let you know early on, at the beginning of those battles, He will let you know clearly that He is all-powerful. And that nothing the enemy brings, is beyond what God can just stomp out of the way. That's it. I just want.
Dwight, you're exactly where you need to be. God's got you. He's got great things from you. And when the enemy steals something from you, your Bible says that they have to return what they stole times seven. God's got times seven for you, good things for you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so awesome. Anyone else wants to share, you just come right up. I want to point you to a scripture, though. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. If God has done all of those things for you, if He's done these things for you, then you should be declaring it. King James says it ought to show forth. It ought to be visible. It ought to be something out there. It ought to be in what you say. It ought to be in how you live. You ought to be a living testimony, a living evidence and proof, a witness of what He's done. Redemption Church, you're not called to just come to hear another service. You're not called to come to hear another sermon and sing another song. You are called to declare the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His wonderful life. Come on. You're called to do this. Some of you are like, you might feel like, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. I don't know if what I would say. I don't know. You're called to do this. You're called to have this testimony, not just here at church, but on the job. You're called to have this testimony in your homes. You're called to have this testimony. You're sitting at a diner. There's a guy over there. You just, God won't leave you alone. Go talk to that guy. That's the moment this testimony comes out in you. God works this way. Can I get a witness? He works this way. The last thing I'm going to leave with you is this. Do you want the supernatural? Do you actually want the supernatural? Because God has the supernatural, right? And sometimes, often, here's how you walk into the supernatural, right? You walk up to the edge of your natural. And then you say, okay, here goes nothing. And you, by faith, say, all right, God, here we go. Sometimes it's this. God wants you to have a conversation with that one, that person, or approach them, or try to do something in his kingdom. And you're like, I don't even know if I could do that. I don't know if I can have that Bible. Well, friend, you just walk up to the edge of your natural, and then you take the next step. And that's when you come into the supernatural. Some of you, in your worship, You're worshiping at the same level that you have for all these years. The answer is that you need to go further to the edge of your natural and then step one more time, and you will walk right into the supernatural, in a place where God does new things in you, where God reveals new things in you, where you surrender new parts of yourself to Him. That, my friends, is the supernatural. Do you want the supernatural? Let me ask it this way. Have you had enough of the natural? We heard from Jeremy Skinner. He talked about being set free from his addiction with cigarettes. Just yesterday, I was watching television and a commercial came on that guaranteed you would be free from smoking cigarettes. And it was this drug that you would take. And man, at the first, it looked really good. Blue skies, like, I'm totally free from smoking. Never again will I smoke. And then the little voice came that said all the little small things, all these little side effects, all these. If you have this happen, it's been known to cause suicide and depression in people. It's been known to cause all these things. If there's rashes appearing and lesions appearing, you please disregard and go see a doctor. Like, listen. Do you want that, or do you want the supernatural where God comes in you and He removes the thing from your heart that's destroying you? Which one do you want? No side effects except happiness, peace, joy, and love. Give me some of that. Some of you struggling with your depression, let me tell you, I'm not telling you to get off your drug medication. That's between you and a doctor. You make that step of faith on your own. But I'm going to tell you, wouldn't it be, you can have the natural where you live on those pills the rest of your life, but wouldn't it be awesome if you just stepped into the supernatural where you're a brand new creature in Christ and all the old things are passed away and all He's made all things new? Do you want the supernatural? You're just going to stick with the natural. You can just come to church and just get a little feel of God every once in a while. Or you could take a new step where you are now the church. You are now His temple. His Spirit's inside of you. And now supernatural things start happening to you. You don't have to go to and hear the sermon and hope something supernatural happens. Something supernatural is already happening inside of you. Do you want the supernatural? Or are you just going to stick with the natural? There's a real thing in all of us. We're called to be declaring the praises of Him, to be testifying and bearing witness. But if we just sit in the natural, we'll never do it. The Lord Jesus told His disciples, you're going to stand before people that are great and powerful people in government and all, kings and potentates. And in that moment, don't you even prepare the words to say. Don't you even think about it. In that moment, you're already bucked up against the natural because you're there whether you like it or not. Sometimes with chains on. But you just, friends, take the next step and the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. I want to give this to you. That's you. He's calling you to do that. He's calling you to do that right here in your church. He's calling you to do that in your homes. He's calling you to do that.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.